Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. I am not going to teach you anything new tonight, thank goodness. I think the old is better to teach than the new. Amen. But I am going to talk to you a little bit about what our job is here as a church and about the local church. I have been in the wonderful presence and I've been afforded the opportunity to sit under gray-headed men. I've been having the opportunity to study books that are written by gray-headed men. I've had the opportunity and joy of being able to study my Bible, realizing that my Bible takes precedence over anything else that is written. I have studied this enough to know that the local church is a vital part of our faith. We're supposed to earnestly contend for that faith. We're supposed to stand up and fight for that faith. We're supposed to come to a simple realization that there's a church that you should be in, and that church is not something that is left to question in the Scriptures. It's a very simple thought process, really. If you study what the Lord set up as His church, if you study what the Lord has done and the heritage that He's given to us, it will not take you long to figure out that the Independent Fundamental Baptist Church is the one that fits that mold. I don't make any bones about that. I'm not going to sit there and kowtow with the Methodists and say, well, they must be okay. I'm not going to label us under the Pentecostals. I'm not going to label us under the Protestants. Right. Baptists are not Protestants. Right. You must understand something. We were around 300-400 years before the Protestants ever protested anything. You must understand this, the Roman Catholic Church is not the mama church. The Roman Catholic Church was around 400 to 600 years after the Baptist Church was started. You must understand something. If you know any of your history at all and study any of your history at all, you will come to a simple conclusion. We were here first. That's right. Now, that does not make us right or wrong being here first. But what it does is this. Jesus Christ put His stamp on our church. He put His stamp on the authority of our church. We don't just make this stuff up when we talk about it. It's not something that we just search the Scriptures, find the verses that fit what we're talking about, and then use them to guide and direct the folks. You must understand something. There's a special reason why we say that Independent Fundamental Baptist Church is the strain that Jesus Christ started. Because it's in here. I'm not worried about somebody writing a book that says we have that right. Jesus already did that. What you must understand is this. What is the charge or the job or the duty of the local church? I want to show you some scriptures tonight in Matthew chapter 16. This will not take long. It's just one simple truth that I want you to grab a hold of. In Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13 is when we're going to start reading. And if you'll stand with me, I'll read through these quickly. The Bible says, starting in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's go ahead and pray tonight. Brother Mark, could you lead us in prayer?
Father, we come to you in prayer once again, thanking you, Lord. We can gather together like this in an open assembly, Lord, and thank you for the Baptist Church and what it means, Lord, to our heritage. And thank you for Jesus taking the time and the careful measures, Lord, to start His church. Help us, Lord, to be careful as we observe these things and thoughts that you've set down in your Scriptures. Open our hearts and our minds, Lord, and help us to be receptive through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now touch Pastor Dave's lips as he preaches. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Before I continue any further, let me start by saying, and you'll find this when you go soul winning at all, you'll find this when you talk to anybody about Jesus Christ, you must understand that people, the vast majority of people that attend church, believe very, very vehemently what they believe, just as you believe what you believe. You must understand that a Catholic person sees what they do as truth just as much as what you do is truth. You must understand that a person that is a Jehovah's Witness is willing to do whatever they can to fall in line with a Jehovah's Witness just as much as we are willing to fall in line with what the Bible says. But just because somebody is willing to fall into line with a belief or with any of those things does not make them right. You must understand that the premise, the basis, the authority that we have, that we speak of, that we use, is started in the Scriptures. I cannot give you enough magnification on the Word of God to explain to you how much the Scriptures mean to our church. I cannot even begin to express to you how important every little word and letter and jot and tittle inside that Bible means to you and to me. I cannot even begin to describe that to you. And the reason I can is because everything that we cling to, everything that we know, has got to originate there. It cannot originate from a man. It cannot originate from Muhammad. It cannot originate from any of those folks, Charles Taze Russell. It cannot originate with men. It's got to originate with God. And if it doesn't originate with God, then what do we have? We have sinful man trying to write a holy book, and that does not work. Now, a lot of folks will say, well, Brother Dave, you better check your history. Sinful men is the one that God used. Yet God used and worked through and moved those sinful men. Let me explain something to you. I've said this a lot. I'm thankful for the Masoretic priests and how they adored and worked hard to bring us wonderful copies of the Word of God. But God could have used chimps. Don't make those men that translated and did all those things, but don't make them superheroes. Don't make them superhuman. Don't make them purified beasts. They're not. They are men. Sinful men that God used. What a wonderful God. By the way, what kind of God would he be if he couldn't do that? Can anybody say amen tonight? Throughout those teachings, the fundamentals of the faith are very simple. We believe that by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We believe as a church that there are fundamentals of the faith that we must contend for. We must contend for baptism by immersion. We must contend for salvation through the blood. We must contend for an inspired word of God. We must contend for indigenous churches. We must contend for a lot of different things. But understand this, Jesus Christ has taught us all those things in his wonderful book. I'm going to talk about one of them. I'm going to talk about one of them tonight that maybe we have started to come away from a little bit. What is the charge of the local church? I want you to read this with me again in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" That's a good question to start with tonight, isn't it? Who are men saying that Jesus Christ is? I'm going to be honest with you. The further we go towards the rapture, the closer we get towards his return, the worse it's becoming. The worse and worse opinion that we have of the wonderful Savior, the worse and worse. I'm going to tell you, we get more ashamed of him every single day than we did before. This old America that was founded on one nation under God, that was founded on the things of God. And if you go back to all the original documents, every single one of them talked about God, talked about how we should kneel before him and worship him. And no good decision was ever made without the Bible present. And all those things, I'm telling you, we are getting further and further and further away from our godly heritage. We've got a leader right now in the White House that say we are not a Christian nation. I beg to differ. We are a Christian nation. We were founded on Jesus Christ. We came over here not for relief of taxes. Good Lord, how'd that work out? We didn't come over here for relief of taxes. We came over here so we could worship God and break away from the state church. Look at what this says. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I say that he is Christ, the Son of the living God. I say that he is my Redeemer. I say that he is my Savior. I say that he is my friend. I say that he is my conqueror. I say that he is my hero. I say as he's the one that died for me. I say that he's the one's a sacrifice for all of mankind. I say he's the unblemished one. I say he's the holy one. Amen. That list is long. Whom do men say that I am? Do we even talk about him anymore is the question. Look at what this says. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, now listen to this now, but whom say ye that I am? Christian, I'm going to just stop here for 1 minute and ask you a question. Who do you say Jesus Christ is? You must understand something. Jesus Christ died for you. I've done my dead level best to try to portray to you how personal your salvation ought to be. We talk about personal salvation all the time. We've got to make it something that's very, very real to us. Understand this, just as much as he died for Miss Darlene, he died for me. And I must come to the realization of a very important truth, that he had to give all of his blood on Calvary just as much for me as he did for Brother Thompson, and just as much for Brother Thompson as he did for me. He died for me. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now he is not naming the Pope here. He is not calling Peter that rock. Peter means little pebble. He did not build his church on a little pebble. He built his church on him. He built his church on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ set up his church while he was there. I do not make apologies for this. We are of that vein. You study the scriptures, the independent fundamental Baptist churches, by and large, that adhere to what the Scripture says, there's some, I'm going to tell you, I wish they'd get rid of the name Baptist, because there's some that are falling away from these fundamental truths, falling away. And I'm 41 years old. I know I'm just a kid. But like I said, I've had the luxury and joy of being raised around the gray-headed men that held on to the old fundamentals of the truth. And I've got to be honest with you, I'm getting a little bit worried about the future that I've got for my children. I'm getting a little bit worried about the kids of my day, the punk kids that believe they've got a better idea of how to get a church to grow. You must understand this. Jesus Christ is responsible for growing his church. All you're doing is bringing the material to help him build it with. We get these ideas in our head that we need things to build the church. Let me explain something to you. I love singing. I really do. Brother Mark does a fantastic job with the choir. Fantastic job. We've got great soloists in this church, but they'll never take precedence over the preaching. Never. I don't want more singing than preaching. I don't. I want to be in a church where preaching is the climax of the evening, is the all-encompassing, we worked all the way to get to this. I don't want the invitation to be what we're aiming towards. I want the preaching to bring the invitation. You must understand, I want the lives to be changed because of the Word of God, not some special song that came up. I want the Word of God to change lives. I want God to do these things. And Jesus Christ has laid out a plan working through the local church to get that done. We've missed it. We're so attracted to the Joel Osteen crowd. We're so attracted to the Benny Hinn crowd. We're so attracted to the Gaither vocal groups. We're so attracted to all these big crowds and all these wonderful things. I've got to be honest with you. I don't see in the Scripture where the mega churches are where it's at. I see in the Scripture where the local, independent, fundamental Baptist, we don't agree with anybody, churches is where it's at. I'm not against having fellowships. I'm not against getting together. But understand this. If you're going to run a program in this church and this program is taking precedence over the local church, you got the wrong idea. Look at what this says. I will build my church. Who said that? So that would be his duty. Is that correct? Look what this says. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, this promise is given to the local church. This promise is given to the local church that is on the attack. Let me show you. When you go back into the history, many, if not most, of the cities were surrounded by walls. Those walls were there to protect folks. Those walls were there to keep out the enemy or keep in your people. Those walls were there to make a barrier between you and the enemy. Some of those walls you could drive 6 chariots abreast across the top. Can you imagine how wide that is? I don't even know if 6 chariots could fit in this room side by side by side. I have no idea. But I know this, that's a wide wall to the top. If you had to take a guess, a wall and a gate, are they the same thing? I'm giving you a little bit of a lesson here. I know this is foolishness, but you must understand something. Gates are in the midst of the walls to let people in or to let people out. If you just built your wall with no gates, you'd be in a heap of trouble. Or you'd be building ladders real fast. Those gates were there so they would work to come in and to come out. They would work so they would open and shut. They would work to give you access in and out. Do gates do any fighting? So when the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, is it talking about hell charging us? Is it talking about the devil and all his band charging the local church? No. It's talking about the local church being on the attack. Let me explain something to you. When did we become sissified? I'm just asking you a question. When did we become sissified in the Baptist churches to where we can't attack sin anymore without threats of people leaving? When did it come that we can't say anything about President Obama in this church? Separation of church and state. Why are you saying anything about our leaders? Let me explain something to you. Sin is sin. I don't care who's doing the sinning. You must understand something. If we're not going to stand and fight, if we're not going to go on the attack, then who is to prevail against the gates of hell? Who is to prevail? Who's going to knock the gates over? You want a charge tonight from Jesus Christ? That charge is, let's go after the gates and knock them over. The cities, where do you think the people attacked first? Do you think they attacked in the middle of the wall that was 100 feet thick? Or do you think they went to the door and tried to kick it in? When's the last time we kicked in the gates of hell? See, we are already conquerors. I hope you understand this. And by the way, you must understand something else. Jesus Christ does not want us to be passive. You show me in the scripture where Jesus Christ wants you to be passive. You show me in the scripture where Jesus Christ doesn't want you to be going after and chasing down sinners. You show me in the scripture where Jesus Christ isn't taking the time to point out somebody's sin. I know that he was kind. I know that he was sweet. But let me tell you something. Jesus also turned over the tables. Jesus also went and rid the temple of those men. Let me explain something to you. Jesus Christ wants us to be about our Father's business. And that might be being a soldier, my friend. We talk all the time about, well, turn the other cheek. I'd like to have a few more people turn the other cheek and socking somebody with the other hand. Amen. You must understand something. I've got to pass on something to my kids. And if my church isn't knocking down the gates of hell, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Jesus Christ gave us a promise, Brother Kataiver. He gave us a promise that if we'll go knocking down the gates of hell, they won't prevail against us. What's that mean? That means the gates can't stand in front of us. Is that what that means, friends? I'm just asking you a question. Is that what that means? Does it mean that the gates will stand there and we'll just keep on knocking and we won't come in? Does that mean, I'm not saying that I want to rush and go into hell tonight. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, is I'd like to go into hell, knock the doors down, and grab a few folks out of that place. Amen. Listen, 2 weeks ago, Brother Jordan got a chance to lead somebody to the Lord, 90 years old. See, we joke about that, but you must understand something. I envision that 90-year-old right here, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And Jordan came and grabbed her hand and said, let me take you to Jesus Christ. You need to see that Savior. You need that. And as much as the devil wanted to hold on to that sinner, as much as the devil wanted to hold on to her and pull her back in, as much as the devil wanted to get a hold of that person, guess what? Jesus wouldn't let him have her. You must understand something, folks. Who else is going to go out and tell them? Who else is going to fight? Who else is going to stand up? Who else is going to go knocking down those gates? Who else? Jesus Christ gave the charge to the local, independent, fundamental Baptist churches, which you're part of. Who else is going to do it? Who else is going to pass out a tract saying, you must be born again? Who else is going to pass out a piece of literature saying, repent? Who else is going to pass? Who else is going to stand up here and preach and sweat and get red-faced? Somebody that's fighting for lives. I want my daughters and son to be able to grow up into a society that still has the local church. I don't go around trying to usurp the authority of the pastor. Associate pastors tear up more churches than just about anything else. Why? Because they get stupid. They forget their job. They forget what God called them to do. And I'm called to preach. The Lord knows my address. If He wants me to pastor someday, He'll make that possible. But you must understand something. For right now, I'm called to be right here bothering you. Man, I'm good at my calling. I want to be able to pass on something. We've lost it. We've lost the thought of the local church. We've lost the thought of the pastor being our shepherd. Let me explain something to you. A lot fewer people would leave their job over a boss they don't like than leave their church over a preacher they don't like. And the vast, vast majority of the time, the boss can do anything they want to you, but the pastor even talks about your sin, and you won't put up with it for a minute. Oh, I know you need a job, but how much more do you need a spiritual leader? How much more do you need your local church? A local church is supposed to be on the attack. Not just on the attack of chasing down sinners, although I think you ought to come on Saturdays. Can I give you a statistic? If you come, you may win somebody to Christ. This is going to be profound. You might want to write this down. If you come, you may win somebody to Christ. If you don't come, you will not.
That's right.
Did you write that down? Is that important? Is that profound? Now listen to me. You must understand something. We're supposed to be on the attack, but let me help you. Not just on the attack for lost sinners. We're supposed to be on the attack for the cause of Christ. See, He's building a church. Do you hear what I'm saying to you tonight? He's building a church. And by the way, He's not going to use Reformers Unanimous to build a church. Help me now. Oh, that went over like a lead balloon. Boy, listen to you. Oh. We're supposed to have ministry. No, no. The local church has the ministry. The ministry doesn't have the local church. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. No ministry is going to come in here and tell my preacher that he has to have something on a certain day or he can't be part of the ministry. You know what my preacher will say? See ya. The local church is in charge, not the ministries. If the jail comes and tells us, you can't do it on Tuesday, you got to do it on Wednesday night, you know what we're going to tell them? Sorry. We have church on Wednesday. See, what you must understand is like the school. Man, how important has the school become to this church? The school's important. Our school's growing. The Lord's got His hands on it. No doubt about it. God's doing a wonderful work. But let me explain something to you that you may not know. The local church runs the school. The school does not run the local church. We do not have our get-togethers on Sunday because that's church day. I do not have any programs on Wednesday night. Did you ever notice that? And by the way, I don't care what any other churches are having. Help me now. I don't care what any other churches are having. This is our ministry. Local church. Our local church. Jesus has given it to us, and we're to be on the attack. I'm not just trying to be ornery tonight. But understand this. The authority lies in the local church, and that authority is carried out by our under-shepherd, Dr. Richard E. Skiver. Not Dr. David Ballard. Don't you worry about him. I'm the under-under-shepherd, which means I'm the dog. I'm good with that. I'm going to be honest with you. I found it a blessing to be here. I do. I find it a blessing to be under a man that has stayed with the stuff. Not some fruit cup, holds his hands up, blinks at you a lot with a pasty white face, tells you you aren't called. When did the local church lose its authority? The day that we let it go. You must understand something. I'm just spitballing here for a little bit, and then I'll get to something else. We don't accept alien immersion here. Does anybody even know what that is? Alien immersion means you're baptized by a Methodist. You can't be a member here until you're baptized by the right authority. What does that mean? Well, Jesus Christ thought it was pretty important to be baptized by the right authority. He walked 63 miles to be dunked by the right man. By the man that he set up, John the Presbyterian. Huh? John the Mormon. Huh? John the Catholic? Oh, you're in trouble now, Brother Dave. This town's almost all Catholic. They're almost all going to hell, too, unless they believe in Jesus Christ. Right. Let me explain something to you. Jesus walked 63 miles, made it a point to say, John, you're the man that I set up. And by the way, I don't have time to go into it, but John was a miracle birth in himself. Jesus named him, for goodness sake. John the Baptist, not the baptizer. Don't let them fool you into believing that malarkey. John the Baptist, with a capital B on the top. He marched all that way to be baptized of him. And John said, man, I'm not worthy to even loose your shoe. Jesus has suffered to be so now. Why? To fulfill all righteousness. How do you expect to be a member here and don't even fulfill the righteousness of being baptized by the right authority? Now, I'll give you another one. You in a hurry? You must understand something. If you're not saved and a member of this church, you ought not take communion. The Lord's Supper. The bread and the grape juice. You ought not take. Why? Because it's set up for members of the local church. Once you become a member, of course you're saved first, then baptized, then become a member, and then you can take communion. We're closed communion here. A lot of people don't even know. It's not that we're mad. It's we're trying to follow the ordinances that Jesus Christ has set up. We're trying to follow exactly what the Bible tells. Now, we're not going to tackle somebody in here if they grab a wafer. We're not going to come at them and say, hey, put that down. But I will say this. We don't make any bones about letting you see that truth in the Scripture. We're the local church. We've got the authority to do these things. Man, aren't you glad you're in the right place? Now, you may think that's just being ornery, but let me ask you another question. A church on the attack just isn't attacking just hell after lost sinners. That's not the only thing we do here. We also attack the devil for you. Can you say amen? We're not going to sit there and let Facebook ruin your life. Oh, man, you know what? I'll get up here to preach on this. I'm telling you, I'm sick and tired even hearing that term. Watching you let your teenagers go straight into a place where they ought not be, straight into that worldwide body of people. You don't know who they're talking to from one minute to the next. Well, they're my Facebook friends. What does that have to do with anything? How about you talk to them? See, what you got to understand is this. I'm not against computers. I'm against a kid sitting on there for 4 and 5 hours at a time so you can do whatever you want to do and have them be babysat. Somebody say amen tonight. I'm 41 years old. I'm the youngest fud dud I've ever met in my entire life. But you must understand, I watched it in the school this year ruin more lives than I care to tell you about. And I love an adult. Well, I've got control. You don't have control either. Get mad all you want to. Get off Twitter. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? Whatever happened to writing a letter? Whatever happened to that? You better take advantage of it while you can. The Postal Service may be on its last legs. Whatever happened to the local church preaching against sin, not just to save the lost, but also to save their own people? And then, I'll just get this out right now. Whatever happened to the church member that listened to the preacher? Somebody say amen tonight. Whatever happened to the church member that cared enough, Brother Kataver, to listen to what their man of God had? Hey, did Pastor Skyver get called here? You better say amen. Pastor Skyver got called here. That means he's God's man. If he's God's man, he tells you to get off Facebook. What do you think you ought to do? Boy, that's you smart people. Not because he wants to be ornery, not because he wants to make you upset. He gets to watch people's lives. The Bible says he watches for your soul. When did we stop letting the local church have influence in our lives? Why is nobody here on Wednesday night? Because the local church doesn't have any influence.
That's right.
Why are you here tonight? Because you're the cream of the crop. Not many folks come back on Wednesdays anymore. Because they've got other things to do. This kind of preaching is not very popular. But if it wasn't for church, I'm just going to give you myself. If it wasn't for church, where would I be? Come on, think with me, Christian. Where would I be? If you have a preacher that stands up here like Sister Joel Osteen and makes you feel comfortable and makes you feel good in your present life and in your present sin, come on, help me. Is that helping your life? That's like saying, hey, kids, go when the stove's burning hot, go ahead and touch it. It's all right. I don't want to offend you. If you got a screwdriver or something, go ahead and stick it in that little hole in the side of the wall. I don't want to make you upset. It's okay, children, if you want to do wrong and backtalk mom and dad. Don't you worry about that, because I know that Dr. Phil would tell me to be nice and try to relate. Let me explain something. Let me relate something to you about children. Don't let your children run your house.
Amen.
Turn to the scriptures once in a while. See what the scripture says about unruly children.
Yep.
You know what it says? It says whack them.
Yep.
Deal with that. Here, Dr. Phil, get me a paddle.
Yep.
Amen.
See, what you got to understand is this. We've lost it because the people of Jesus Christ, his saved people, his people, the ones he has called, will no longer humble themselves. They want to do what they want to do. They won't stop for 1 minute to realize that maybe the preacher's telling them the truth. Maybe the preacher's giving them what they ought to have. Maybe the preacher got a message from God, and maybe it does deal with your feet that he's stepping on. Maybe it does deal with you. But you know what? If it does, let your feet get stepped on and praise God for getting rebuked.
Amen.
The Proverbs say a wise man loves it when he gets rebuked. A fool hates it. What side are you on? What happened to the local church? What happened? I have been blessed at 41 to be... I've been here 18 years learning from the old men. And I don't want that to go away. I don't want the minute that the Lord calls me into the pastor or calls me somewhere else or calls me... I don't want that to not go with me. I want to realize that there's a reason that we are indigenous. There's a reason that we're local. There's a reason that we are independent. There's a reason that we don't have to take advice from other churches. We take advice from God through His scriptures, through our pastor. Some yo-yo comes in here and says, well, glory to God, we ought to have a rock band up here. to make you feel better, to bring more. You want to fill your seats, brother? Have you a rock band? If you want to fill your seats, don't talk about sin. If you want to fill your seats, have coffee out in the foyer. Let me explain something to you. I go to church. I don't go to romper room. If you want to go into a battle, and let me tell you something, the battle's very real. You got a lot of draft dodgers today. Boy, that's good preaching. You got to write that one down. We got a lot of draft dodgers today. Know they're supposed to do what God wants them to do, but refuse to do it because they'd rather go hide. We don't need more Christians headed off to Canada. What we need them is to stay right here and get in the battle. Get in the battle, and because I don't believe America's done yet. No, you need to hear that now. I don't believe America's done yet. I don't believe that America's going the way of the Joel Osteen. 80,000 people. Can you believe that? 80,000 people coming to church to watch a guy with a mullet. 80,000 people come to make you feel better. And I've heard, I've never seen it, but I've heard that the offering plates are buckets. Not plates, buckets. Hundreds of them. Well, what's he preaching for? See, what you got to understand is this. I would rather have me an old-fashioned, leather-lunged, mean to the core, fired up, fire and brimstone, ornery, spitting, red-faced, stomping. I'd rather have me a man up here that's willing to sweat and call out the world and go fight hell and go fight the gates and realize that we got something to fight for and we're the last ones fighting. And let me explain something to you. I hope and pray that as you sit in this church, you come to realization that you are on a team that needs to be attacking, not a team that needs to be sitting the sidelines. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus has told us we won if we'll go. Now hold it. We've won. I know we've won the ultimate battle. I know we're more than conquerors. I know that there's going to be a day when we get to see heaven. And glory to God, I'm excited about that. I'm excited to be in a place where there's no more goodbyes. I'm excited to be in a place where the streets are truly gold. I'm excited to be in a place where the walls are precious gemstones and there's no more sorrow, no more tears, no more suffering. I'm excited to be in a place where I get to meet Paul. I'm excited to be in a place where I get to kneel before Jesus Christ and take an eternity to thank him for what he did for me. But while I'm here, I want to fight for the old paths. I want to fight for the church that Jesus has set up. I want to fight for the local body of believers, the called out local body of believers called the church. Don't get into this universal church thing where everybody is God's children. Right. You're not God's child unless you have faith in Jesus Christ. And then you're a part of a church that you go get yourself a membership in. Right. They were added to the church daily. What do you think that was? What you got to understand is this. We live in a day and age where these things are crumbling. Real leaders, real men of God standing up and crying out against sin are crumbling. Because we have families that will come and say, well, bless God, preacher, I don't like it when you talk against alcohol. The Bible says take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. You dirty dog. It's the only scripture you've read in the last year. That's the one you banked on right there? You can't tell me what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is, but you can tell me that a little wine for thy stomach's sake. You can tell me that one. If you think that Jesus Christ wants you to drink alcohol, come on now. We fight for that. Billy Sunday got prohibition through by preaching the Word of God. People used to believe in Jesus Christ, used to believe in what he set up, used to believe in that church, used to believe in that. And I know along the way there's been some imposters that have tore the church down from inside. I know there's been some men that haven't done right, but you ought not lose faith in what Jesus Christ has set up. I still believe that Jesus Christ can do it. How about right here in Northeast Ohio? How about right here in Ravenna? How about right here with Bethel Baptist Church? How about right here we start an old-fashioned revival that starts with charging hell? I don't care if you just bring it a squirt gun along, Jack. Come on, let's charge the gates, because we got the battle already won. If we'll go out and win us some sinners, go out and get some lost ones, go out and tell people about Jesus Christ, because he still lives today.
That's right.
Somebody say amen. Boy, is this a Wednesday night? It's supposed to be a prayer meeting or something. You're probably praying for me right now to quit. No ministry should usurp the authority of the local church. Not school, not the jail ministry, not RU, not campus crusades for Christ, not sports leagues, not computer hackers, none of those things. You must understand something, that Jesus Christ has given us a job. Jesus Christ started his church with this in mind, and I want you to read it with me. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Our job as the local church is to be charging the gates of hell, chasing down sinners, helping the weaker Christians, strengthening the cause for Christ, calling sin, sin, adhering to the old ways and the old paths, holding strong, standing fast, because we're surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses that are looking down on us to see if we're going to finish. I don't want to be the one that lets loose. I don't want to be the one that tucks tail. I don't want to be the one that trades in what we have for what we think we ought to have. I want to hold on to the old paths, the old ways. I want to let the local church, the under-shepherd, Dr. Richard Skiver, and Jesus Christ, using him and us to charge the gates of hell, because the Lord said they won't prevail against us. They won't stand. They won't stand. When's the last time we realized what we're part of? Do you realize it? We're not part of a coffee club. We're not part of that. We're part of an independent, fundamental Baptist church. And we get excited about the things of God. And we charge after the sin of this world and charge after lost folks. Go and get them and tell them about Jesus Christ. And I'm glad I've been raised under an old-fashioned, leather-lung, fire and brimstone preacher. And I want to die with me being that way. A burr under this old world's saddle. Because I'm telling you right now, I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. Christian, when's the last time you realize we've won? When's the last time you realize all you've got to do is charge? Wouldn't it be great to fight a war, Brother Coolidge? Think about this. I watched World War II HD the other day. I'm fascinated by World War II. I don't know why, I just am. We charged the beach at Iwo Jima. So many men lost their lives. So many men lost their lives going up that wonderful hill of Suribachi to plant a flag there, not knowing that they were going to suffer much more casualties going inland on that little island. Wouldn't it be wonderful, Brother Coolidge, to go into war someday realizing that you're not going to lose? What wouldn't it be great if we showed up on that beachhead realizing we've already won?
Yep.
Christian, we live that right now today. We live that. We've won. But the Lord still wants us to charge. Can you have faith enough in him to charge? Can you have faith enough in him to believe that what he has set up, the gates of hell cannot prevail against what he has set up? That church is supposed to be an attacking church. That should be us attacking, going after it. I think about Brother Johnston. You won't meet a greater attacker than him. You won't meet, so I'll tell you right now, you give him a toothpick, he'll charge hell. I guarantee you that. He'll throw that thing like a javelin right in the devil's eye and laugh at him as he's trying to get it out. Brother Johnston's full of faith, full of spit and vinegar. I love him. He's preached here lots of times. But let me explain something to you. The reason that the gates of hell will not prevail against him, because Jesus Christ had already set it up. All he had to do is plug himself in to the plan that Jesus Christ has already given. That's the same thing with you, my friend. Plug yourself into the plan that Jesus has already given and watch the gates of hell tremble and shake. Watch the gates of hell come right off their hinge. Watch the gates of hell close and try to bar it real tight. Try to shut us out. They'll try to stop. The world's trying to stop us. The world's trying to stop us from getting in. The world's trying to stop us from winning people to Christ. The world, neighborhoods, putting signs up that no solicitation or soul winning allowed. Oh, they'll stand before God. Let me explain something to you, Christian. We've already won. Let's go out and get those gates. Let's tear them down. Let's go out and get them. We've already won. We're supposed to be an attacking church. Let's go attack, because we've already got the job done. All we've got to do is plug ourselves in, and let's go attack hell. Let's go after it. Let's let Jesus lead us. Let's let him lead. Hey, let me tell you something. That old-fashioned tent revival going on in Lima, that's the old pass right there, brother. That's the old pass. You want to get excited? Have a revival. They used to have revivals that would last months. We have a 3-day revival and people are crying the blues. 3 days at church? I would to God we'd charge in this building. And I need something from God tonight. You must understand something, Christian. We cannot let those old paths go. I hope you're hearing me tonight. We cannot let the old paths go. We've got to grab a hold and never let go and realize that we're supposed to be attacking. And if we can do that, we can see great and miraculous things from Jesus Christ. He'll do great and wonderful works through us right here in Northeast Ohio. Wouldn't it be great to plant 25 churches in the next 10 years and go charge hell from different fronts? Amen. Let's be an attacking church. Let's call sin, sin. Let's go after it. And by the way, Christian, I'm going to end with this. If the sin that you're doing, the sin that you're in, if that gets attacked by your preacher, change you.
Yes. Amen.
Don't try to change him. Because
right.
He's the man that's watching for your souls.
Yes.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much that you've brought me to a place where I've learned truth. Lord, I could be caught up in one of those other places that believe just as much as we do in what we believe. I could be Catholic right now. I could be Catholic believing in that heresy. I could be Lutheran still. I could be believing in what they teach. I could be Presbyterian or Mormon. I could be a Jehovah Witness, believing with all my heart the lies that they believe. But instead, Jesus, you've put me where I can hear the truth. You've put me under your scripture. You've put me under the old gray-headed men. You've put me, Lord, in a place where I can become well-equipped to charge those old gates. Lord, help me to be a soldier. Help me to realize that I've got a job and a position to fill. Help me to never shirk my responsibility to go AWOL on this fight that we're in. Lord, help me to always be there. I know I've got down days, Lord. I know I've got days I don't want to fight. But, Lord, please give me the courage and the strength to continue to fight. I look at people like Brother Johnston. I look at people like Brother Sells. I look at people like my preacher, that even though they're down and out, they're still fighting for you. Even though they've had things come into their lives, many, many things have come into their lives to discourage them, they still show up on the front lines and they still decide to fight. Oh, God, let me be one of those men. Lord, let us have a church here. Let us have a church that's on the attack. Let us not have a passive church that sits around at fellowships and potlucks hoping that we get people to come. Let us be a church that goes out and wins them. Let us be a church that goes out into the highway and hedges and compel folks to come in. Let us be a church that goes after sin and cries out aloud against it. Oh God, let us be an old-fashioned church. Let us be a church that holds on to the old paths, wherein is the right way. Lord, help us to be that way. Going in a way, and I believe this is key, going in a way that is filled with compassion and filled with caring for the lost and the dying world that we live in today. Help us, Lord. Help us to be guided and directed by you and what you've told us in this old book. Lord, I thank you for the wonderful night you've given us. Oh God, please get into my life and help me to never change. Help me to stay with the old paths. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head